The brother is asking, if someone wins a lottery and he doesn't take any of the money for himself and he gives it to social welfare to help Muslims and others in general. Okay. The person who earned this $1 million, was his act halal or haram? Haram. Is it haram لذاته or لغيره? لذاته. Because gambling in and of itself is haram, doesn't need anything else. He gives now the zakat to the people. He gives it in sadaqah. He doesn't take anything from it. Is he rewarded? No. If the people take the money, what can they use it for? Knowing that it is from haram source. Using it for things that will not be used in day-to-day activity of ibadah. So they can't build a masjid with it. They can't carpet the masjid with it. But they can give it to people who are needy. They can build facilities that are not used in worship and so forth. Pave a surface and so forth. Yes. So he would not earn a reward. But his giving it to the people is not haram. It's just mubah. He doesn't earn any reward from it. Yes. No, he doesn't get more sin by giving it. It would be deemed as just a permissible act. He does not earn any reward for it. Yes. Illegal sources are of different types. Theft is an illegal source that is different than riba and different than others. Meaning that if a person buys a garment that is bought from money that he earned from riba, his prayer is accepted. But if he steals the garment, his prayer is not accepted. Because he's deprived someone else of his garment or his clothing. And there is a clear narration from the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. In fact, there are two types of sin that the Prophet ﷺ himself would not lead the prayer over the Muslim for. Two sins that the Imam of the community doesn't lead the prayer. Doesn't mean the Muslims don't. Rather, the Imam must appoint someone to lead the prayer over this person. The first is a thief. The Prophet ﷺ and the Imam of the community should not lead the prayer over in the janazah over a person who is a thief or a person who committed suicide, who brought an end to his own life. What about debt? No, the Prophet ﷺ, it wasn't as a censure, it wasn't as something that would be deemed that the person was sinning. But those were two things that the person who, if he sinned with those two sins, the Prophet ﷺ would not lead the prayer. He would order the Sahaba or the person's family to do so. As for debt, the Prophet ﷺ would not pray until the debts were paid. But he would still pray, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes. The terms of haram لذاته and haram لغيره is مجمع عليه, is agreed upon all of the scholars of fiqh that they make the distinction that there are levels in haram. In fact, in the levels of haram لذاته, there are innate levels. And in the levels of haram لغيره, innate there are levels. I'm only giving you two of them because it's, you know, we're just getting into the introductions. Give me examples of, what is an example of a deed that is haram لذاته? Murdering someone. Give an example, another example. Pardon? A suicide, okay, other examples. There's many. Stealing, eating un-Islamic food. All of these are things that in and of themselves, they are haram lidhati. How do we know that they are haram lidhati? One of the previous four things, right? One of the previous four things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not come near adultery or fornication. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, if you do this, this is your punishment. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. This is made haram. Or the Prophet or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, اجتنبوا. Stay away from it. Now for the matters of haram that is لغيري. Give examples. If you're using a thing that you stole as a prayer. Eating excessively as an action of haram. No. That will become clear when we look at the makruh. Right? Because is being lazy haram? If being lazy was a sin that is deemed haram, then that would be haram li ghayri. Right? Yes. Okay, that's a very good example, mashallah. Staying up late after Isha, knowing that you have great difficulty in waking up for Fajr under normal circumstances. So therefore, staying awake, you know that your habit from your habitual deeds, that if you stay after this hour, if you don't have the minimum of 5 hours sleep, you know you won't wake up. Now, say it again. Not setting the alarm. Okay. Or not setting the alarm in the first place. Knowing that if you know that you must need an alarm to wake up and you intentionally you don't set it, that is غير. Yes. What? لغيره. They are actions that are لغيره. Any other examples? تفضل عمير. Okay. If you know that you will miss it, yes. But if it's something where you it just makes you lazy and it's not something that will deter you from the prayer, then no. Because what is the if a person sleeps, meaning if I go to sleep now, and because I'm excessively tired, and I didn't plan on sleeping all the way to Isha to miss Maghrib, is my Maghrib, am I held accountable and sinful in it? No. Yeah. Listening to music, that's a good one. Why is that? What? Show me the steps that you take for it being haram li ghayrihi. Okay, listening to music in and of itself. Are there clear narrations from the Prophet ﷺ discussing them specifically? Yes. So therefore, is it لغيري or لذاتي? But are there types of music that are لغيري? The types of music that are not mentioned as being things that are sinful, meaning that they are not clear, if a person listens to them excessively, and they lead him to the other forms of music, is that something that is deemed haram li ghayrihi or li dhati? Songs. Then yes. Okay. MashaAllah. Yes, tafaddal. Lowering the gaze. Ghadd al-basar. Okay, why is, the brother is asking a good question. Why is غض البصر حرام لغيري and not حرام لذاتي? Who can give a reason? Is looking in the act of looking in and of itself, is it halal or haram? Okay, looking, which of the looks? The first or the second is حرام لذاتي. That is لغيري or لذاتي? لذاتي. If the person is in a state where he has not looked a second or third time, but he is intending to, and he's looking at something, remember I gave you the example, where he's not actually looking at a person, but he's reading, it's something that leads him into the state of haram. So if a person, he's in a state where you're at work, and you are not looking at the woman in appraisal, you're not looking at her out of appraising her, is it haram لذاتي or لغيري? What was meant by the Prophet ﷺ where he said the second look is haram? What was meant by the second look? Is it that, just say I'm at work and she comes in, she hands me a report, I say thank you and I look away. She comes in appraisal. So the second look where it's in that same moment, I look back because something has come to me to look back to her in assessment. right? But now if I hadn't been looking back in assessment, and as she's walking away and there's nothing to do with the assessment, it is something now when I look voluntarily, and it has nothing to do with the assessment, is that look لذاته or لغيره? لغيره. Because it's something we're looking, it's generally a lawful deed. But because I wasn't looking in appraisal and it was just an involuntary action, then that becomes an action that can lead you to haram. And therefore it is لغيره. Is it clear? No? No, the other brother, he said no. Okay. Looking at what is haram, looking at what is of two types, right? There is the look where you look at something in appraisal. A person, she comes and she hands you the report, you smell the scent of her perfume or something, so you look up to look at a specific feature of her. That is the second look that is mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says in other hadith, that look, it is a poisoned arrow from the arrows of the Iblis that enters into your heart. Why? Because it sways you, right? If the person didn't look back in the second, but in now, he's walking down the street, and he sees the person at a distance, he says to himself, now I'm going to go to appraise the look. Is that follow-up? Is that haram لغيره or لذاته? Meaning the intention of the look. Where a person isn't in the act itself, but he's going to look. لغيره. Meaning he's away from her, so he says, no, let me leave my office. And he goes to her office to look. Do you see? That is leading him to the greater haram. In fact, the sin, and it's also a good point, a sin can be haram لذاته and haram لغيره based on the circumstances. Based on the person's intentions. So it's something that can be, a person can in fact be doing both at the same time. It can be leading him to the sin, and in fact the sin that he is committing is also a sin that is known to be by itself a major sin. And that's why we say, the first definition, it is an act that leads you to an act that is haram لذاته. It doesn't mean that the act you're doing isn't haram لذاته. It could be a haram لذاته act that is minor to the other act which is larger. Right? It can be an act that is haram لذاته that is less of a nature than an act that is haram لذاته that is of a major nature. So both of them can be haram لذاته and both of them can be haram لغيره, but they eventually lead you to a larger, more detailed sin. تفضل. I forgot it. So you will have to return to the tape, inshallah. Have we understood this? Yes. The second question. Tafadhal. No, لذاتي. لذاتي. But to drink, okay, to drink is haram لذاتي. To drink, to become intoxicated and lose one's mind, the action of drinking is haram لذاتي as well as haram لغيره. Because the act of intoxication is a major form of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with the act of drinking. It clarifies it a little bit? Okay. We will, this will become clearer when we discuss the makruh issues. Yes, tafaddal. I need to. And that's okay. If someone is envious of someone and he looks at something with hasad, is that deed haram لذاتي or haram لغيري? And he looks at it with envy, intending to steal. So the appraisal for theft. لغيره, right? So that's a very good example. Jazakallah khair. The next point that we will discuss now are the things that are mustahab. Mustahab are desirable deeds. Deeds that we do and that are recommended to us. طلب الفعل لا على سبيل الحتم ولا الإلزام. It is that a divinely ordained legislation, meaning it's from Allah or from the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, it is from a divine source of revelation to us. meaning it's from Allah in the Quran or from Allah through the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ's sunnah. That is highly desirable that we are asked to do it. There is a great reward for it. While it is not obligatory. While it is not obligatory. The thing that sets al-mustahab as being different from the wajib is the one who does not perform a particular, specific, individual mustahab act on a regular basis is not a sinner. The one who doesn't do a particular, specific mustahab act, he is not sinning. And should not be chastised or disparaged. You can't say, how dare you not do this specific act? Because it is something that he will not be punished if he leaves it off occasionally. While the one who performs it is rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is an act of worship that you do that is ordained by Allah. Allah says, I want you to do this. But the order that is given, he does not say, if you do not do it, there is punishment. Or he doesn't say, it is wajib. Or he doesn't use lamul amr. Or he doesn't make it in the tense, in the order that it is an obligation. Or he gives you another verse or another hadith that shows that it is only recommended. So Allah might say, or the Prophet ﷺ will say, Al-witr wajib. Remember we gave you that? Witr is wajib, right? We mentioned that yesterday. Are there other hadith and other narrations that show us that witr is optional? Yes. Meaning that any time, did the Prophet ﷺ at any time miss witr? Or did some of the Sahaba miss their witr at times? Yes, there are evidence. So it shows that when the Prophet said, Al-witr wajib, with this secondary evidence, it proves that it is only recommended. So all wajib acts are judged as being acts that must be performed. All acts of worship that are recommended are acts that must be performed unless there is evidence to show us that it is merely recommended to us. So the one who doesn't perform a specific act that is mustahab, he is not in a state of sin. Yes. The Prophet ﷺ says, we know the hadith is in Sahih, is in the Sunan, is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, bisanad Sahih. The Prophet says, al-witr wajib, witr is wajib. Now, when we look and we see the other evidences in the Quran and in the Sunnah. What are the things that are shown to be things that if we leave them we are punished? The five daily prayers. So that's the first evidence to show that witr, it is recommended and it's not from the things that you are punished if you leave it. Second, we know that at times some of the Sahaba did not pray witr although it was highly recommended to them by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So it shows that the word wajib was meant to be of inspiration, not of obligation. So that the word witr was meant to be of an inspiration to you, not of an obligation to you. This is just one evidence. There are numerous evidences from the Prophet ﷺ. That's just one hadith. As for the other names that you will find, according to the scholars of fiqh, not the scholars of the other disciplines, you will find that the word nafl or sunnah or mandub or masnoon. The word nafl, sunnah, mandub or masnoon are used interchangeably by the scholars, and I'm making it clear, by the scholars of fiqh. So don't come and say Yahya is saying sunnah, it is something that is only recommended. Sunnah is of different meanings to different types of disciplines and scholars. As for the three levels, أظن أذان المغرب الآن, is it the time for Maghrib? 2 more minutes? Okay. As for Imam al-Shatibi, in his book Al-I'tisam and others, he lays down some words or principles regarding the understanding of al-mustahab. He says first, كُلُّ مَنْدُوب ثَبَتَ أَنَّهُ مَنْدُوب بِسُنَّةٍ مَأْثُورَةٍ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُعْتَبَرُ خادمة للواجب أو حما له. The principle that he gives us first, any action that is proven to be mandub, meaning mustahab, with authentic narrations from the Prophet ﷺ, is to be seen as the protector of the wajib deeds. Meaning it is the fence that inside it are the wajib deeds. Meaning that the one who does not perform the masnoon and the mustahab, he may be a person who is drifting further and further away from the wajib. And therefore the wajib deeds are guarded to enter into them. You will see before you begin a fard prayer or a wajib prayer that there are acts that you do before it and acts that you do after it. Because it's things that are precursors to the actual obligation. So they prepare you for the worship. So you pray two rak'ah before sunnah, as sunnah before the action of Salatul Fajr, which is wajib. And therefore it is seen as a protection of the obligation. Have you ever heard of someone who wakes up before the Fajr comes in, prays the two rak'ah, the sunnah of Fajr, and goes to sleep and doesn't pray Fajr? Impossibility. Right? So therefore the one who is mudawin ala al-a'mal that are mustahab or mandub will be a person who is constant in his deeds of the obligation. The second is that he says to us, the second principle, من أدى النوافل فإنه لا محالة يؤدي الواجبات. The one who performs the nafl will invariably perform the wajib. The one who does the nafl deeds will without a doubt continuously be from those who will perform the obligatory. And third and finally he says, المندوب غير لازم بالجزئية ولكنه لازم بالكل وجوبا. He says, that which is permitted to be left off in part cannot be left off in its entirety. So you can leave off, for example, praying the two rak'ah that are sunnah after Maghrib. But can you say, I will not pray ever any of the sunan of the prayers? Can you make intention to leave off all of the sunan? No. You can say to yourself, well, I've missed it, inshallah, maybe later on I'll get in the habit and I'll find some more time and I will do it, right? So you are not punished for leaving off a part of the sunan that are mustahab. You are not punished for leaving off a part of the mustahab deeds. But you will be held accountable for leaving off all of the mustahab deeds, because the mustahab deeds in their entirety are seen as one wajib. So for you to swear off and say, never will I do any of the sunan, is a way of falling into missing an obligation, which is following the example of Rasulullah ﷺ. Yes. The brother is asking, you just referred us to the hadith of the man who came to the Prophet and said, all I do is pray the five, make this, I fast Ramadan, I give the zakat at due and so forth. Will I enter Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said to him, yes. And then when the man was leaving, he says, in sadaq, if he is truthful in this, he will be successful. Meaning, if he never leaves off anything that he has just promised to fulfill. The scholars now, Ibn Hajr, in explaining this hadith, he gives two understandings of the question that you are asking. How come we see now that the Prophet ﷺ is allowing a person to leave off the sunan? He isn't. In the actions of prayer, are there sunan? Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is telling him, if you're praying the way I'm praying, and you say the things that I've taught you, and you make the dua of istiftah, the man isn't leaving off all of the sunan, right? So therefore he's implementing. That is one explanation. The second explanation that Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar gives to this is that the Prophet ﷺ was giving that particular man who was simple in his knowledge, who all he knew how to do was pray. He didn't sit with the Prophet and learn that he should pray two rak'ah before Fajr, four rak'ah before Dhuhr, two after Dhuhr. He didn't learn all of the sunan that if you make wudu, you can pray two rak'ah. that when you hear the adhan, you are to make this dua. The Prophet ﷺ made it simple for a simple man who came to him in the beginning of the hadith, and we conclude with it for the adhan. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, La afqahu dandanatak wala dandanata Abi Bakr. I don't know how to make up all these words that you and Abu Bakr are saying. I don't know how to make these excessive dua and these excessive worship. Tell me something that if I do, will lead me to Jannah. He says to him, Ya Rasulullah, if I did this, 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 and this, would I go to Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ, who was a person who was of ability to legislate. So, as we know, يَسِّرُ وَلَا تُنَفِّرُ. The Prophet made things easy for him and didn't drive him away. So he says to him, if you are truthful, meaning if you make sure that you do the prayer as I've taught you, and you fast and you do this, 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 and that, then yes, you will enter Jannah.